This morning it is our great privilege to baptize Rachel Joy Umpleby, daughter to Johnny and Ali and sister to Joel and David. And we warmly welcome the family and friends of Johnny and Ali who have joined us this morning for this special occasion as we welcome Rachel into the visible church of Jesus Christ through Christian baptism. Christian baptism has been around for 2,000 years. Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament after his resurrection and before he ascended into heaven. He said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And as we have just affirmed this morning, baptism is a sign and seal of God's covenant of grace, of our ingrafting into Christ, of forgiveness of sins by his blood and regeneration by the Holy Spirit, of adoption and resurrection to eternal life. And this morning, Rachel will have the sign and seal of all those realities placed upon her in Christian baptism. Later on, I will take Rachel from Johnny and Ali and I will pour water over her head. And I will baptize her in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, for some of those visiting with us this morning, what may happen this morning may be completely new to you. For others, it may be a little bit confusing. So I want to take some moments to explain what Christian baptism is. Let me clear up a few things first. Is there something special in this water? No. Does pouring the water on Rachel's head make her a Christian? No. Is there some magic in my words that I will speak over her? No. So why then are we baptizing Rachel with water accompanied by words? Because Jesus Christ commands it. You may say, but was Jesus not referring to adults? Should we not wait until Rachel grows up and professes faith in Jesus for herself? Well, let me give you three reasons why we will baptize little Rachel this morning. Because children have always been a part of God's creation order. Because children have always been a part of God's creation order. In the beginning, God commanded Adam to multiply and be fruitful. That was not a once upon a time command. It was a once for all time command. The command reflected the way creation would naturally progress. To put it in other words, children are the way God made the world to work. And because creation precedes redemption, what God redeems after the fall is creation. And since family is part of the infrastructure of creation, God redeems families. What was stitched into the order of creation is not unstitched when God comes to save the world. What God commanded to Adam, he gifted to Abraham. He commanded Adam be fruitful and multiply. And he promised Abraham, "I will multiply your offspring." And that promise was repeated to Israel, "I will keep my steadfast love to 1,000 generations." And it was repeated again to King David, "You will never fail to have a son to sit on your throne." What God commanded to Adam, he gifted to Abraham and to Israel and to David. In other words, grace does not ignore nature or abolish it. Grace restores nature. We baptize children because children have always been part of God's creation order. And redemption restores creation. Number two, we baptize children because children have always been a part of God's covenant promises. Because children have always been a part of God's covenant promises. Throughout the Bible, children are included in every one of God's covenants. God's covenant with Adam was made with him and with his offspring. God's covenant with Noah was made with him and with his offspring. God's covenant with Abraham was made with him and with his offspring. God's covenant with Israel was made with Israel and to 1,000 generations. God's covenant with David was made with David and to all his future sons. And it's the same in the new covenant. Acts 2:39. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, whom the Lord will call. Those three categories of people, you, Jewish adults, your children, and those who are afar off, Gentiles, those three categories parallel exactly the three categories in the covenant of circumcision with Abraham. He was to circumcise himself, his children, and all foreigners in his house. Do you see the symmetry? The relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament is one of continuity, not discontinuity. If the newness of the new covenant is that children are no longer included, then why, at the very point of inaugurating the new covenant, does Peter speak in old covenant terms? And why, at the very point in redemptive history, when God's saving purposes shift from being exclusive to Israel to being inclusive to all of the nations, why, at that very point, would God cut the umbilical cord and exclude children? To exclude children in the new covenant is to cut against the grain of the whole trajectory of Christian scripture. So children are included in all of the covenants. And if they are included, then, to quote John Calvin, we owe them this sign of the covenant. We baptize children because children have always been a part of God's covenant promises. And third, we baptize children because God is God and he does not change. Because God is God and he does not change. If God does not change and he doesn't, then neither does the order of his creation change. The continuity of the creation order, Rachel and her family included, is as sure and certain as the immutability of God. If God does not change, and he doesn't, then neither do his covenant promises change. Rachel, as a daughter of Johnny and Ali this morning, is not excluded. She is included. Behind the creation order, behind God's covenant promises, is a God who does not change. So whether you are a visitor this morning or a regular, this is why I am about to baptize Rachel, because children have always been a part of God's creation order, because children have always been a part of God's covenant promises, and because God does not change.